This is How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Look for updates at facebook.com/weekendpodcast or how.as/yourweekend. While you're there, please subscribe. There are links for iTunes, Android, and more.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Wendy. How's it going?
Good. How was your weekend?
Pretty good. How was yours?
It was all right. I was a little under the weather, but...
Yeah, me too. I've got bronchitis.
Dude, what the heck's going on? It's the summer. We're not supposed to be sick.
I don't know.
I think I know why I'm kind of like run down and tired. I've been traveling like a dog in a crate in the belly of a plane, which just basically means I've been flying a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the best description, but you know what they say about planes and travel. They kind of take a toll on your immune system, but I'm feeling better now.
But airborne does absolutely nothing.
I would agree. I don't use that stuff.
I mean, it literally does nothing.
It tastes disgusting.
And it costs like $20 for a thing of it, and it literally does nothing.
I just pop some vitamin C and go on with
my
day.
That also does nothing.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Vitamin C doesn't like boost your immune system. That literally means nothing.
I thought it did. I thought vitamin C is supposed to make you like more resistant to colds. So you're saying I'm not actually helping me when I think mentally it's helping me. Just let me have this, Brian.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
It's a placebo.
It's a placebo.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to keep taking it because I think in my brain it's helping. So I've been on planes a lot.
More than I have recently.
Yes. And I will say I have become desensitized to a lot of the random craziness that occurs in airports or on airplanes. But
really? Like what? So did you... Go ahead.
No, please ask me.
Do you know what I'm going to ask?
No, I don't know what you're going to ask.
Okay. So, have you been frisked recently?
No, I have not.
You saw the photo from when I was frisked a couple months back.
I think you need to post that picture because that was pretty phenomenal.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
No, I have not got the new TSA pat down, fortunately.
It was awful.
I think it's a little invasive from what I see.
It was.
I am very grateful. And I hope, knock on wood, that we don't jinx me because I get on a plane again on Tuesday.
Don't wear your belt.
Yep, I don't wear one as it is. I pretty much don't even put jewelry on anymore because I'm just whatever they need to pull me for. I don't want to have it. But I have not had the TSA pet.
Good.
I have been wanded.
Everybody gets wanded though, right?
Once in a while. And this week on my way back, I did have somebody who kind of like ran my bag through a couple times. And I was like, really, come on. Like, what's going on here? But I was the only person in line, so I think they were just having
they
fun.
Something to do.
And I was like, I'm not running late for my plane, but I'm kind of tired of saying it. And I finally went, is it my curling iron? She goes, yeah, I think that might be what it was. I was like, okay, can you just give me my bag? But I think I've become desensitized to, or maybe I've grown patience. Let's put it that way. Like waiting in line, or if other people are cranky and unorganized and like all over the place and I just want them to get out of my way, like I just don't even notice
really?
It anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because I'm just too tired to care, but you know, like one of the things that made me absolutely bonkers is when you're waiting to go through security. Like I get if you don't travel a lot, you can tell who those people are and I have some sympathy for them. And the whole process of get your laptop out and take your shoes off and yada, yada, yada. But when you know somebody who is like, you have a good sense that they're a well-traveled person and they get up to the person and they don't have their ID out or they like stand there and they're not kind of semi preparing to put their stuff in the bins, you know, as you wait in line to get to the bin. That used to drive me absolutely bonkers. I'm like, you see what everybody else is doing.
Just do that.
What? Exactly. Just be a robot. Repeat what you see. It doesn't change just because it's you. And now I'm just like, whatever. Like, this person's going to take longer. I'm going to do my thing, and I'm just going to take it all in.
So how often, how many, in the last 2 months, how often have you flown?
I have been on a plane twice a week, every week, since May 22nd.
Since May, wow.
Yes.
Wow, that sucks.
I've been in like mass desensitized, but you know, I do think that there are some basic etiquette things that maybe I even don't do it, but there are some things that I think if people would just do this, you know how much faster we'd get on planes or how much easier the world would be in the air travel space. But let's start with, what is your biggest pet peeve about flying besides getting frisked by the TSA? And have your friends videotape it or take photos of it.
Take photos. I mean, the whole TSA process sucks.
Yes. So what's your least favorite thing about it?
Taking my shoes off and my belt off.
Yes.
Like, I don't even mind the x-ray for all my stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, very often I have to go somewhere and, like, take everything out of my pocket. Like, if I'm going to, like, a basketball game or something.
Mm-hmm.
But taking my frickin' shoes off, that's absurd. And if it wasn't for one idiot who made one shoe bomb, nobody would ever have to do that.
I know. And see, those little frustrating things, I'm always like, rah! And then I'm like, but if they don't do it, then what happens? Well, on to happier notes, because I don't want to talk about that. There are other things that go on in an airport completely security unrelated that, to me, can be very... So, besides you being frisked by the TSA...
That was terrible. And it's the same airport that you...
have to fly in and out of all the time. They like me there so far. I'm not, well, except this, that one lady dragged me through a little bit this week, but that's okay.
Yeah, that young pretty boy TSA guy who giggled when he had to do this, he can go bleep away. Himself. If he wasn't a federal agent, I would have punched him in the nose.
I bet your face said that too. And I would have paid money to see it.
My
happen.
Face spelled like a 2-letter phrase.
I would have totally bailed you out of jail for that too, buddy. Totally. But you know what drives me nuts? When you're going through an airport, and I get it, you're a mom, you have lots of kids, all that kind of stuff, like keeping them wrangled, difficult. But when the person has their kid on like the leash behind them or in front of them, but they just have them on the leash so they don't have to pay attention to like if they're in the way or not. It's just so that they don't run off. I feel horrible when I almost take children on leashes like out with my suitcase. But then I don't, because I'm like, just because they're on a leash doesn't mean you don't need to pay attention if they're in the way of the flow of traffic. People are going places.
And there's those little tram car things that people ride around in or whatever they're called.
Yes, the little golf cart.
Yeah, the golf cart thing.
Utility cart, whatever you want to call it.
I really hate the airport experience.
It's not, like I said, I have really become desensitized to so much that used to really irritate me just in a matter of this time that I've had to be on a plane every single week. But the one thing that still irritates me is when you are boarding or getting off and people put their luggage up, all that other kind of stuff. But when there's like a little old lady or a tiny, you know, frail old man, you name it. But there's obviously somebody who needs some assistance getting their bag up, and nobody, like, rarely do people try to help them, because when you help them, it goes faster. And people just watch them struggle, or they just are, that drives me nuts. I try, if I'm in the position, to like help somebody lift their bag up, or, you know, or if you know somebody's trying to get by, say something, people just stand there and they huff and they give people dirty looks. And it's like, dude, it would go faster if you helped yourself by helping this person.
Yes.
That drives me bonkers. So I was on a plane. Here's a story of a complete just, and I thought it was about to go down in Des Moines, Iowa. As I was going to the World Pork Expo, late flight, regional plane, people coming from Charlotte to Des Moines, Iowa, and there's this guy, obviously a business guy in a suit, everything else. Everybody's tired. It's a late flight. And nobody's connecting to anywhere at this point. So the rush in, like, all rushing to the door to get off the plane, there's really no reason, because everybody's just home and done for the night, right? So this guy who's, I think, probably in his late 40s, early 50s, old enough to know better, dressed very well, businessman, has his noise-canceling headphones on, right? We're all standing, waiting to get off the plane, and he's, like, in the back of the plane. So he stands up and he's standing in the aisle, and because he's a taller guy, you think, yeah, he needs to stretch, whatever. But we get to the middle of the plane where people are like getting out of their seats. And this little old lady was not in, she was not being slow, in my opinion. There was these two guys behind me, these good old boys, were sitting behind me. This guy literally just blows by, almost knocks her over as she's reaching up for her bag because he wants to get off the plane. And the guy sitting next to me, we both look at each other like, what's this dude's problem? She was not in any way, like, in the way. She was not holding anything up. In fact, she had barely gotten out of her chair, but he blows by like six seats, hits this lady, not like, but bumps her enough. And she's like, probably, you know, she's elderly. It's not like she's the spring chicken. And these two guys sitting behind me were like, I ought to kick his.
And well, did they do anything?
They said, the one guy said, hey, you SOB, out loud, because the lady was like, excuse me. And they're like, no, ma'am. Like, you don't need to apologize. And this guy goes, hey, you rude SOB. Well, he had his noise canceling headphones on, so he didn't hear anything. He heard no one make a remark. Well, I was like,
I would have thrown something at him.
I was like two people behind him. And the steward saw what had happened. So as he was walking out, he kind of didn't step in front of him, but he was like, well, I hope you have a good flight, sir. It seems like you're in a rush. And he still, and the guy looked him in the face and he finally took his headphones off. And the steward said, did you realize you almost knocked somebody over out there? And he's like, it's not my problem. And he kept walking. I wanted to jump on his back and beat the living you know what out of him. I was like, what is, hello? What, you're not in that big of a rush that you knock an elderly lady? Like, stuff like that drives me, where people just aren't being like decent humans, drives me bonkers.
I hate people. I genuinely do.
It's sometimes they're just, it makes no sense. I was like, what was she going to do? And her husband was in the seat trying to get out behind her, so he couldn't even say anything about it. And I was just like, oh, this starts this trip.
I would have thrown something at him.
It's just, so finally, the guys behind me, we were waiting for our bags to get pulled into the jetway, right? So nobody could even go after the guy. And then the funny part of it afterwards were the three good old boys that sat behind me were just like, you know, ma'am, are you okay or whatever? I ought to kick that dude's ass. Like, what a son of a bitch. You know, I mean, going off, and I was just giggling, and I'm like, they're not wrong.
No.
They're not wrong. But it's stuff like that where I'm like, it takes 5 seconds to be nice.
I would have taken my shoe off and thrown it at him.
Yeah. And the good one guy goes, take those fancy effing earbuds off so you can hear that people are not. Because the whole plane after him was just appalled that happened. And we're like, dude, you're not getting a connecting flight. That's the kind of stuff that just drives me batty, of just people being kind, you know, and being like, you don't have to chat. You don't have to love everybody. Maybe you're having a bad day or you're flying somewhere. But that was just so uncalled for. That was one of the most recent things that I about just lost my stuff over.
And, you know, none of our listeners would do that. But if out there, if you would do that, stop listening right now and go shove your head in the damn toilet.
Get him. Get him, Kilby. It's true.
And never listen to this podcast again.
Exactly. Have respect for your elders and help her out. Jeez, oh, Pete. So then that stuff, those are kind of two of my pet peeves. There's so many other things that drive me
God,
bonkers.
My pet peeves are mostly just like the cost of everything.
Oh, well, that, yeah, that's just nonsense. But one of my favorite things about traveling in the air, I don't know what it is about a plane, but I can sleep. I just want to go take a nap. I don't know if it's the roar of the engine or the pressure in the cabin. I just want to take a nap.
It could be the pressure in the cabin. For me, if I have a traumatic experience, I always go to sleep after. And for me, flight is a traumatic experience.
Yeah, you don't like to fly. You drive most places.
And I don't drive most places because I don't like to fly, because I prefer driving. It's just that I have so much more freedom if I'm driving.
It's the freedom and the control and the stop. So what's the longest flight you've ever been on?
From Charlotte to Portland, Oregon.
Oh, so like 5 hours.
Something like that.
All right. So I've been on to Peru. I think from Miami was like 5.5, 6.5 hour. But then I've done Seattle to Charlotte.
And, yeah, that's about the same.
Yeah, and I was doing good, but at about that 4.5 hour mark, and I'm done with a really good nap, I'm just like, get me off the plane, get me off the plane, get me off the plane.
I was lucky to not have a layover on that. I don't know how I managed to get that without a layover.
So I want to take a big trip next year to Australia.
Nice.
And that's like a 20 hour something insane, 17 to 20 hour thing, I'm going to probably need sleeping. Or those planes are bigger too, so you can get around and do things. But Peru was easy because I had movies. I watched like 2 movies. It didn't feel that long. It was not bad. And the plane was really nice. And the like service was great. It was awesome.
That is awesome.
It was not bad at all.
Yeah, I don't even have a passport, so I've never flown internationally.
Yes.
I need to do that.
You do.
Before I hit 40.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Where would you go? Where would you fly to that would be worth getting your passport?
I've always wanted to go to, like, Egypt.
Oh. That would be fun.
That I don't know why. It's just, I would love to see, like, the pyramids and everything.
Heck yeah.
Athens would be up there.
Nice. I know somebody else who may want to go with you to old Athens. Go see your family not far from.
Oh, that's true.
Go to Cyprus.
Actually, I think part of her family is coming here.
Are they really?
Yeah. Well, not her sister.
The girl with the red pins getting family visitors.
Her sister's visiting.
Nice. So once you get through the debauchery, like, I would love to hear other people's thoughts about the airport, because there's just so many things about the airport that are irritating.
So can I ask, have you been to the Tootsies in the airport there yet?
I have not.
I had dinner there on the way back.
How was it?
It was like microwave. It was like a microwave kind of meal.
Not great.
No.
Generally, so airport food generally is not good. Rarely. There might be a couple little restaurants.
I mean, if it's like a restaurant, like a chain restaurant or something that has like consistent food.
Yeah.
Like the airport in Charlotte has, like, it's like the only Quiznos in the area.
Yeah.
Because every other one closed down, but there's also a Bojangles.
Oh, ugh. I don't like Bojangles. I can't do it. I know. Give me that look, Kilby. Give
this
it to me.
This podcast is over.
I can't do it. It's not good. I can't do it.
You can't do Bojangles.
I can't do Bohangles.
That Mexican place over there, Bohangles.
Bohangles.
What?
It's just un-American if you don't like them Bohangles.
I love Bohangles. Bojangles is a Charlotte-based company. It's regional, but a lot of people will probably have no idea what we're talking about, but I really like Bojangles.
I know. A lot of people do, especially people born here. I generally, in the airport, unless it's like a layover, there rarely do I even just eat, unless it's like food court type stuff. I rarely even eat at an airport.
I'll sometimes grab a candy bar or something.
Yeah, I generally do some gummy bears or some beef jerky and a water and call it a day.
Are they bouncing here and there and everywhere?
They are.
Yeah, awesome.
But no, I have not gone to the Tootsies. But funny enough, so this is the thing when you travel a lot, and I'm going back and forth basically to the same place. But in all my years of traveling all over the place, especially to places where, like, home to Colorado or Oklahoma City, where I went to school and I know a lot of people, I'm like, some point in my life, I'm going to run into people in the airport, right? And it never happens. Never happens. Not like old friends, not like old business acquaintances, everything else. Finally, in my 30-ish years of life, I'm at the Nashville airport, and out of Tootsie's, I hear Wendy. And I go, no, surely that's not this Wendy that they're calling for. And I look back, and it's an old vendor I used to work with.
Nice.
And he's like, I thought that was you. And I was like, okay, finally, once in my life, I've run into somebody I know.
Did you remember
in an
their
airport.
Name?
Yes, yeah, Scott.
Cool.
Scott McGuire. He was a good dude. It was good to see him.
I'm terrible with names.
Are you?
So I usually am like, hey, how's it going?
Hey.
And it's whether I know the person's name or not, because if somebody sees me calling somebody by name and I don't remember their name, I'm so screwed.
So I think that we know your TSA experience, and the security thing is not your thing. But so people watching can be very interesting at the airport.
Oh my God.
But tell me your favorite people watching moment, if you can recall it, in an airport.
I think in the past I talked about some of my favorite and least favorite people watching experience on a bus in a bus terminal.
Yes.
Oh gosh. But in the airport, this is not anonymous, so I can't use that one.
Okay.
I guess people maybe getting drunk at the bar.
Oh, so I had an 8-hour delay in Cincinnati back in March. And this lady, while we were waiting, you know, because it's a long day, you're just sitting there. She just kept getting drunker. She would be like, oh, where are we at? How long? And then she'd go back to the bar. And by the end of it, I was like, you were a really cool lady when this started, and now you're just a mess. and you're not funny and you're irritating and we all have been here for 8 hours and we're trying to be optimistic and happy and now you're just making this unfun. But yeah, that's pretty good. My thing is watching married couples. It's entertaining as all get out.
Like any specific variety? Like
generally newlyweds? Older.
Okay,
older. Both. So there's both. That's such a great question.
I hate newlyweds.
It's both. Yeah, because you were a newlywed once.
Yeah, I was. I hated myself.
Why?
I was.
Because you're all mushy.
I was never
and
mushy. I was never. Well, Kim is never a mushy.
I was
going
to say, I don't see Kim ever being
so,
mushy.
So
and gooey.
When there's like a symmetry and people are both like that, it's just terrible.
Exactly. Yeah, when they're first coming back, like, you know, that couple that just got back from their honeymoon thing, right? That's the obvious one. And hopefully she's not wearing bridegroom like that crap, whatever. Whoever does it, be proud. I'm glad for you. But I just also makes me giggle. But older couples that have been together, you know, a long time. And it's either the husband or the wife. I'm not going to say it's the wife, but they're the one who's like the control freak. And they're the planner. And they always have like, do you have this or do you have that? And they're fixing. And then do you need something? And it's just entertaining to watch the older couples as they travel. Because it's like the guys either like, God, here she goes. I'm going to sit down. And I'm just going to let this happen. And I'm going to open my book and hope she doesn't fuss. And then generally she's like, yammer, 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 yammer the whole time. Or the woman's like, I've got my bad magazines, or I'm looking at pictures of my grandchildren that we just visited or whatever. And the husband's like got his paper and he's reading the paper to her, and then he can't sit still. So he's wandering back and forth. And then she's like, where'd he go? And the older married couples are like the best people watching at airports.
So I think in the world that we live in now, where everybody has a tablet in front of them or a phone or something,
mm-hmm.
and people just stick to themselves, I think there's probably a lot lost when it comes to people watching.
I agree.
And
like just the random fun conversation that used to be had.
And now that, you know, you just can't go to the airport for the heck of it. You have to go through TSA and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably a lot of that experience, you know, is gone forever. So it's kind of sad.
Who's the most interesting person you ever met on a plane?
I don't talk to anybody on a plane. So,
ever.
Unless I already know them.
Okay. So nobody just struck up a conversation with you?
No.
Okay.
No. Never. Not once.
The most interesting person. I am not generally a chatter. I generally, like, I'm cordial. I say, hi, how you doing? Two scenarios I can remember flying. One, shortly after 9/11. This older lady sitting next to me, we were taking off, and she just started freaking out. And she said, can I hold your hand?
Aw.
And I wouldn't even say she was old. I mean, she was probably in her 50s. But at that time, I was in my 20s.
Like, oh my God,
yeah, I was
ancient.
In my 20s. So, but she was like, can I please hold your hand till we get in the air? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? But the most interesting conversation and just randomness that occurs to you is I sat next to a priest.
Interesting.
Yes. On a flight back from St. Louis.
Did you have a fun conversation with a priest?
Well, we talked about, well, you know, I'm Catholic. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, he didn't say, hey, are you a Catholic? Or we just talked about, I was like, what were you there for? Oh, I was there to visit family. Like, we kind of just had, obviously, they're people too, but we just kind of had normal, what were you there? Who are you visiting? Blah, 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 blah. And then he had said something about visiting a church. And
okay.
That he had lived in Nebraska for a while. So then we found common ground in that he had actually been a priest at a church where my family went.
Wow.
In Nebraska. And so that was like the most random, interesting. And then I also was like, man, I bet this puppy's going to land safely.
Was there, so there are not a lot of Catholic churches in Nebraska?
There are a lot of churches in Nebraska.
I don't remember if it was here or back home. I was driving around and there was just a sign that said Catholic Church. Like there was just one.
That would be here.
Yeah.
Until recently.
Okay.
Because when I moved here almost 16 years ago, it was hard to find them. But that was probably my most interesting. Now, to your point, so many things have been lost with air travel. But once you go and you get where you're going, instead of a taxi, you now probably grab Uber.
I've never gotten an Uber.
You've never Ubered?
Nope.
Okay, so I'm not going to make fun of you because I just Ubered for the first time last April, not this
past
one.
I drive everywhere. I don't need one.
Like over a year ago. And I was like, this is a bunch of hoo-ha taxis, whatever. Uber is like...
I think it's great.
So I the CEO has his issues and well, I get true. He just stepped down and all that other kind of stuff. And I... a tragic accident with his family. So not that I think that dude was the greatest dude, but... the service is interesting concept, it and Lyft both, but I have had some really fun, helpful, just great Uber experiences. And recently, because I'm traveling so much, my favorite Uber drivers, retired people.
I could see that.
Like, they want to talk to you about the job market. They want to talk to you about, like, the real estate situation in the area. It's just fun. Or... and then, so this is the other funny part. So I say the priest part, right? I take a ride the other morning with this lady. She's retired. And she's like, where are you from? Are you here for work? You know, all those normal, like, niceties. And she goes, are you originally from North Carolina? I'm like, no, I'm from Colorado. And she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, well, my niece, or I said something about Iowa for some reason. And she said, oh, I'm from Iowa.
Nice.
I said, oh, okay. And she goes, yeah, my niece is still there. Whatever, I think we were talking about jobs. And then she said, I lived in Nebraska for a little. I said, oh, my mom's family lives in Nebraska. She goes, where? And I'm like, Fremont. She goes, I lived in Fremont. And I was like, okay, this is random craziness. Like, what person in Tennessee knows about Fremont, Nebraska? But that was another one. It was just like, you know, you ride a million times and you have these interesting conversations and you learn really cool things. And then there are really bad Uber drivers, too.
How many people live in Fremont?
I have no
idea. Is it more than Wilkesboro?
They're probably comparable.
Okay. I was in Portland. This wasn't in an Uber, but we were at the bank because they killed my card because I didn't tell them that I was traveling across the country.
And they're like, somebody's thieving him. He never leaves the state.
Yeah. So the teller, we were talking to him. And we said, hey, you know, we just flew in from North Carolina. My card's dead. Can you, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, where in North Carolina? Mike, Wilkesboro. And he was like, I'm from West Jefferson.
No way.
Which, yeah. And guy looked nothing like
anybody from expect
from West Jefferson.
That's where my friend Christy's from.
Yeah. And, you know, it was just kind of funny. But the thing is, you know, it's a big world. There are a lot of people in it.
But it's really small, too.
It's really small.
It's really great. So I had my fun Uber driver this week was Eduardo from Venezuela.
Nice.
So we're talking, just a really friendly guy. And I'm like, well, how long have you been in the States? He's like, I've lived in America for 30 years. It's the greatest country ever. He's like, I said, yeah, we take advantage of a lot of the great things that make this country awesome, right? And he was talking about how Venezuela is under like a dictatorship now. Mm-hmm. And his parents, he was telling me how they got to send them things because they have to stand in line to get like basic necessities each week, all this kind of craziness. And I, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I knew this was going on a little bit.
You had no connection to it.
But because when Chavez died, you know, he was a jerk. But this guy, he's like, everybody thought this guy was going to be better. He's like, he's worse. But I was like, so thankful for Eduardo. Like, because it made me go, I know I'm grateful where I live and this is a great place. But you really just made me even more excited that I lived here. But he was such a happy, like, cool dude. We talked about so many things. And I mean, the drive is maybe like 20 minutes. Every morning to work. And it was like, I love these moments where I meet these people from all over the place that are just like, I like driving people around and I like, you know, picking up a little extra cash here and there. The Uber experience is very interesting.
We know a couple people who drive for Uber and Lyft and they're part time.
We do.
Yeah.
I don't know them.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know they're doing it.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention their names, but because I don't, you know.
I don't want to do it. I don't want people puking or anything in my car.
They love it.
Do they really?
Yeah, they love it. It's fascinating.
Well, I mean, you obviously do it to make extra money, but.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, one of them does it just because he can.
He can meet people.
Because he can, yeah.
Seriously, if you just, one of the, like, the retirees are like, it gets me out of the house. I meet people. I get to have fun conversations. Like, I think in any other state in my life, being an Uber driver could be really fun.
Yeah, could be.
But there's one guy, he like they've and they've got it down by a science. Like I've figured out all these things of like how you make money. Like most of them, you know, being in a popular city, they're like you pick up the bar crew and you drive until the airport crew is done in the morning and then you go to bed.
So, Wendy.
Yes.
You have a brand new truck.
I know, but he's getting in my truck.
You could drive for Uber.
Heck no. Chili's not an Uber machine. I would get a little beat up piece of you know what to Uber people around in.
Yeah.
A gas.
Well, it has to be a certain model or newer and everything.
Yeah, I don't know all the rules. There are rules around that.
Yeah, there are.
But I can't believe you haven't Ubered.
No. Maybe, I don't need to. I drive.
Maybe we will do a podcast about your first Uber experience.
Okay.
It's because you don't drink either. But sometimes I just don't want to fight the traffic. I don't drink like a fish, but I just want to go and not have to care about the traffic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We're going to do an Uber experience. It's on.
Is that a challenge?
Should we Uber with one of our friends?
We could. Yeah.
I don't know how we would do that. Oh, well, they could just turn themselves, like, be online right where we need them to pick us up and then just do that and say, treat us like we were any other Uber driver.
No, because that would be, it wouldn't be authentic because part of it is you don't know the driver.
Well, that's true. Okay, so then we're Ubering.
Yeah, let's
do it. We're going to have to pick, and we're going to have to Uber a distance because I would say that the Uber drivers in Charlotte are not as cool as some of the other places I've
I would
been.
Say probably.
Sorry, Charlotte, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. All yeah. right. Well, I'm going to have to get on a plane again very soon, and maybe I'll have better stories, but.
Well, you know what? We talked about doing a challenge, and maybe the challenge that I have for you might help you with that.
Oh, are we delivering the challenges
We're
now?
Delivering the challenges
okay,
right now.
Okay, mine's not great, but I'm excited to tell you yours.
Yeah, mine's not either.
Okay, well, you tell me. What am I? Okay, so I don't know if you recall, but we had said after Rejection Proof, right? Mm-hmm. After we did our little podcast on that, that we thought we would try to do 30-day challenges every now and then to have something interesting to talk about.
Yes.
So it is now soon to be July 1st.
Technically it's July, probably July 2nd by the time you're listening to this.
Yes. So Brian Kilby, what challenge are you delivering to me, Wendy Kaysen?
So I want you twice a week.
For the next 30 days.
For the next 30 days.
Okay.
To find and listen to a podcast that you wouldn't normally listen to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to dictate what they are.
Okay. You're not going to say it needs to be of a certain topic or anything.
No,
okay.
I can suggest some stuff.
Okay. How about you suggest at least two and I have to listen to it within the 30-day period? I just have to listen to it once.
Okay.
Okay.
So one would be Hardcore History.
Okay.
It's a great podcast.
Okay. I'm all on this.
It's a great podcast.
Okay.
And I think that's a podcast that anybody would like.
Okay. I'm going to do these on my runs. This is going to be great.
And the other would be, so when I worked for you, what I always loved about you is you were always very interested in what interests me, even though you did not give a crap. And I remember like sitting on multiple occasions talking to you about wrestling.
Yes.
And you just listened like you cared and you were did such a great job with it.
Hey, I did watch WWF cartoons.
That's true. But like you, so in my bathroom, I have a picture above the toilet.
Yes.
Of my favorite manager, Jim Cornette.
Yes.
Jim Cornette is awesome. And he has a podcast and it's hilarious. It's called The Jim Cornette Experience.
Okay. So I have to do,
I will pick an episode of each.
Okay.
That is still available to download.
Perfect.
For you to listen to.
Yes.
They're both excellent podcasts, but for completely different reasons.
Okay. This is going to be awesome. Cause then it's going to give me all sorts. So I'm going to have to take notes about what I'm learning in
yes.
these things.
But
this
then,
is going to be awesome.
But
okay.
then, you know, however many weeks there are, you know, pick whatever else. But
okay.
those two podcasts you have to at least listen to. And Hardcore History is a long podcast.
Okay.
Like,
so like
episodes
an hour? Or?
No. Hardcore History runs like 4, 5, or 6 hours.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So it's going to take me time to get through that one.
Through that one.
Okay.
Jim Cornette Experience, usually about an hour, hour and a half.
Okay. All right. Cool. So one thing we didn't clarify, I want clarification on.
Sure.
So are we going to share these experiences?
Yeah.
So we all do that challenge, you'll do that challenge, and yeah. I can give you two to listen to?
Well,
you listen to podcasts all the time.
Okay, yeah,
so
let's
you
do it.
The challenge, you're also going to do the challenge you gave
yes,
me, and I'm also going to do the challenge I'm going to give to you.
Yes, and pick, I know you weren't prepared because we were going into this blind.
Yes.
Pick a couple, let me know, and then
I know one I'm gonna have you listen to.
Okay, what is
and
it?
And it's brief, and you'll be like, okay, this is whatever.
Okay.
Make Me Smart.
Okay.
I love Make Me Smart. It's like 30 minutes or less, and they just kind of pick a topic of the week and talk to somebody.
That's an NPR podcast.
That's right? An NPR podcast. And the other one I would say is Entree Leadership.
Entree, like E-N-T-R-E-E? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I love that. And those are generally an hour, and I will pick one of those that I think you will like with a particular leader that they chose, because they have very interesting speakers on it, but it always kind of comes back to leadership and business, but also in life.
Okay.
So those are the two I'm going to have.
Awesome.
The 30 day. Okay. So we've got that.
Okay. What's your challenge for me?
You're going to laugh. You're going to think it's ridiculous, but I really want to see if you can do this.
Okay.
Because you made mine pretty light. I don't know if this is. I want Brian Kilby for 30 minutes a day to not touch his phone at all. Not look at it, not hold it, not anything. Like have Kim lock it in a cabinet.
While I'm awake.
While you're awake. And in that 30 minutes, do like a 5 to 10 minute mindful exercise. Like almost not hardcore meditation, but just sit still and be still in your brain. And you cannot touch your phone. It cannot be near you for 30 minutes. I was going to do 10. Okay, we can negotiate.
No, that's
fair. Can you do 30? Every single day.
So honestly, Wendy.
Every single day.
Honestly.
And it can't be when you're not in a meeting. None of that hoo-ha.
No. I don't know that you saw me post this to Facebook, ironically, but I took Facebook off my phone.
Oh, you did?
Now that Facebook's off my phone, I don't hardly look at my phone anymore.
But you're still fidgeting with it to see your email.
I am. Well,
you check your email or for messages.
Or like I'm sitting here just doing this, yes. Like holding the phone.
I want you to just not have the phone as like as a fiddle thing. And I want you to just it not to be near you. And then for 5 minutes of that time, you have to just sit, be quiet, and be still.
Okay.
Kim's going to have to like monitor this for me.
I'll have to create like a check. Yeah, log.
You're going to have to like text me every day and be like, I did it. And Kim's going to have to say, yes, he did.
Okay, sounds good.
So I'll do the same thing,
though.
I'm going to not touch it for 30 minutes and sit and just be still and not think about anything.
Sounds good.
I know it sounds silly, but
I can do this.
And we have to think what it's changed, if it's changed anything
okay,
or not.
How has it changed? Okay. And oh, yeah. So when we come back and review this.
Yeah, at the end of July. Our last weekend of the July.
First week of August.
First week of August. There you go. This is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay. Yes. I'm excited about this. And then we'll do another one.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Cool.
Okay. Awesome.
Well, can't wait to hear about it. We'll see y'all next week.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
This has been How Was Your Weekend? Please subscribe at our website, howwas.yourweekend. That's howw.as/yourweekend. Please leave a review and tell a friend.